Boys and girls, in our text that we read this morning, our Lord Jesus says a very remarkable thing. The Lord Jesus says in verse 42 of Luke chapter 10, one thing is needful. One thing. Do you know what that is? One thing. When the Lord Jesus says this one thing is needful, he says this is absolutely necessary. Everything else isn't necessary. Everything else isn't important or as important. One thing is needful. What is that one thing? It can't be a favorite toy, because even favorite toys can be replaced with new favorite toys. Maybe it's air. It can't breathe, can't keep living, or water or food. But it's none of those things either. Maybe you think the one thing needful is faith, to have a true and saving faith in Jesus Christ. That is the one thing needful. Or maybe you think grace, to have God's grace, because that's where faith comes from. Or maybe you think regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, where out of God's grace, he works that faith in the heart. So a sinner responds with repentance and faith. But is that what the Lord Jesus says here? What does he think is the one thing needful? And if the Lord teaches us that one thing this morning, will we agree with him? Or are we going to continue to insist what we think is necessary is the one thing needful? If the Lord Jesus teaches us what it truly is this morning, are we going to say, no, it's my toy. No, it's water. No, it's food. No, it's faith. No, it's grace. No, it's regeneration. Are we willing to surrender what we think is the one thing needful and accept what he says is the one thing needful? But what is it then? What is the one thing needful? The one thing needful is to listen to Jesus. That is the one thing needful. It's amazing how the context of our passage focuses on Christ and his word. We read from Luke chapter 10 how the Lord Jesus was teaching. And he turns to his disciples after thanking his Father that the Father is revealed in the Son, and only is the Father revealed in the Son. He turns to his disciples and says in verse 23, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Blessedly focus on him. And he says, understand what a special privilege it is that you hear and you see me and the things I see and hear. And we, as it were, congregation with them, having this infallible witness to them in the scriptures. Further, he gives the beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. And though he is trying to trick the Lord Jesus, it comes down to a question of what does his word say? Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers with a very clear question. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he goes on to talk about the law, to love God above all and neighbor as self. And though he can give the right answer, he doesn't understand it. Though hearing, he does not hear. Seeing, he does not see, to use the language of Isaiah and the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus uses the parable to show the foolishness of this man as he misses the entire point of the law, teaching him that we are not made right with God by what we do, but by His mercy. And then the Lord Jesus gives us this beautiful history that culminates in emphasizing Him and His Word, beautifully fitting the context. In harmony with the context, what is the one thing needful? It is what Mary has chosen to do. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." And then in verse 42, where we find that beautiful phrase, "but the one thing needful." But the one thing is needful. "And Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her." What is that one thing needful that Mary has chosen that Martha mistakenly has not? What is that good part? It is quite clearly to hear His word. To hear His word, to listen to Jesus. That's very important. We always remember this. Firstly, because we easily get this confused. We easily get confused about what the one thing needful is. And Martha is an example of that. In our text set before us in Luke chapter 10, in verse 40 and 41, we see Martha is confused about the one thing needful. In verse 40, we're told what she's doing. And then the Lord Jesus, in verse 41, tells us why. What's going on, as it were, in her heart. Verse 40 tells us what she's doing. Verse 41 tells her why and what's going on inside. Well, there's three things, if we consider verse 40 and 41, the description of what she's doing and what's going on in her heart. Three things that cause her to become confused about the one thing needful. And these are things that very easily all God's people struggle with. First, we're told she is cumbered. She's cumbered. In verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." She's cumbered. Or to put it another way, she's drawn away. She's busy. She's moving from one thing to another thing to another thing. She's got to get the food ready. She's got to keep the dishes going. She's got to make sure the people are taken care of and these needs are being met. She's running the household. She has guests. She is a hostess. She's busy. And it weighs on her. She is cumbered with a load of care, and she is being drawn away from Jesus to this thing, and drawn away to that thing, and drawn away to that thing. She's cumbered. And in the midst of the busyness, as she is sure she is doing the right thing, she is feeling overwhelmed. And we can tell how overwhelmed she is feeling, and how sure she is that she is doing the right thing, of how she even answers the Lord Jesus in the midst of her busyness, in the midst of her being cumbered about much serving. She makes time for Him and says to Him, in the midst of her busyness, "Lord, dost Thou not care?" She's so busy with so much work. She's trying to keep everything going, and she finally makes a little bit of time for the Lord Jesus, and she goes to the Lord Jesus and says, "Don't you care?" It's an amazing thing, isn't it? We can get so busy wrapped up in our things, even in good things, even in things like serving, that we forget about the Lord Jesus And then when we remember him, as we feel overwhelmed and we feel busy, even though we're serving him with good things, we think he doesn't care. We think he doesn't know. We think he doesn't understand. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." When we read this, part of us immediately thinks, well, Martha's right. Martha's right. If one person is just sitting on the couch and one person is doing all the work, that's not right. That's not fair. Get up off the couch and help. Seems to make sense to us. Sometimes we even think it makes sense in the busyness of church life, in the busyness of using our gifts to serve God. I'm on this committee. I'm doing this work. We need this. Our church is bad here. We need to work on this. I'm part of this group. What are they doing? There is always more work to do. And brothers and sisters, if you are not serving Christ by being active in ministry of some kind, you must be. But at the same time, we can become over busy. And we become very connected and active in the service of the Lord. And we forget who it is we're serving. And Martha, though she is very well intentioned in the midst of her busyness, she thinks Jesus does not care, does not know, does not see. And she would even rob her sister of the one thing needful. It's not intentional on the part of Martha. But being cumbered, over busy, drawn away from Jesus, busy even as it were with good things, except it pulls her away from Jesus, leads her to get confused about the one thing that is absolutely necessary. And our Lord Jesus then responds to Martha and her cumberedness, leading her to so easily confuse the one thing needful, addresses not her actions, addresses her heart. He could have said, "Martha, sit down. Martha, take a break." He could have said, "Martha, don't worry about the dishes. Don't worry about the company." But he goes to the matter of the heart. Has the Lord Jesus ever done that to you? The Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and stopping and touching your heart. Enlightening your mind so you realize what you're doing that is against yourself, against your neighbor, and worst of all, against Him. And further, not only touched your mind and your understanding of that, but in your heart. So there is a sense of guilt, not at being caught. There is a sense of guilt, not just at doing something wrong, but that there's a sense of guilt in the fact that you have hurt and betrayed him. That's what he is doing to Martha. And that's what he does to his people time and time again. When the Holy Spirit, at the direction of the Lord Jesus, works in their heart initially, and as he continues to work in their heart throughout their lives, he turns directly to Martha and moves on from her being cumbered and drawn away to the reasons for it, and they are two. They're two. That she is careful and that she is troubled. Jesus answered and said unto her, and remember, he is answering the question, "Dost thou not care? Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Don't you care?" Here's his answer. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, Even the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is evident. She's accusing him of not caring, and he responds by saying her name twice. Martha, Martha, I hear you. I understand. I do care. Martha, Martha. In pop psychology, they tell you, and in salesmanship courses, they tell you the importance of using the person's name. It's common sense, really. But here it is pastoral genius. Martha, Martha. He understands. He hears her concerns. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. He says, you're careful. It's as if he is to say, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and filled with stress and worry about many things. And further, she's troubled, or we could say upset. Upset admits distress. She's worried and anxious about what's going to happen, how are things going to go. And in the midst of all the stress and the busyness, she's not only anxious, she's upset. She's distressed. She's afraid the ship is sinking and we're all going to go down and what's going to happen. Happens in our hearts quite easily when we stop focusing on the one thing needful. All the things set before us, we feel overwhelmed. And just like our forefathers of old in the scriptures, we would be tempted to say, all these things are against me. Even though all of them are working for us. Do you remember what happened, boys and girls? Joseph had been taken away. Benjamin had been taken away. But their father... their father thinks all these things are against him. But in reality, they are for his very salvation. And the Lord Jesus beautifully, pastorally, but honestly and directly addresses the problem. You're careful. You're anxious. And you're troubled. You're upset and you're distressed. But what must take place is a necessary choice. Martha is anxious and distressed. She's cumbered about with much serving, so she's confused the one thing needful. She thinks the one thing needful is to be busy serving Jesus and doing things for Jesus. Active, active, active. To take care of other people, to do stuff. But good stuff, great stuff. But anytime even the good things in life get in the way of Christ, they become idols. And a necessary choice must take place if we would follow and take hold of the one thing needful. A necessary choice. And that necessary choice is to sit and to listen. The Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, but one thing is needful. And now is the contrast between Martha and Mary and what they are doing made plain by one word. One word. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. That is the difference between them. The choosing part. Mary hath chosen. Martha has not. Both are daughters of grace. Both want to serve Jesus. One understood the one thing needed. One was busy, cumbered about, drawn away in service out of anxiety and a troubled spirit. The other, at peace, having chosen the one thing needful. Well, what did Mary choose to do Martha did not? Two things. Mary chose to sit. And Mary chose to listen. She chose to sit and she chose to listen. Sometimes the hardest choice to make is to sit down. It's hard to sit down. Our church family, partly because of the biblical principles we follow, partly because of the cultural setting we are in, know what it means to work. I remember when I turned 16 years old, I had tried to get a number of jobs when I was 15. But I couldn't. I couldn't even mix mop water at McDonald's because you had to be 16 to do that. Boy, as soon as I was 16, I went and got a job because that's what you did. Yeah, you were in high school, but you got a job. Here, you can do it a bit easier. You can perhaps drive the tractor sooner, get to work on the farm, but the point is the same. If you live in the city or you live in the country, you work. You show up on time and you work hard. It's hard to sit down. Our culture, by contrast, is one that just always wants to sit down. In front of the TV, in front of our phones, in front of our video games. We don't want to work. We shouldn't need to work. We deserve it, or so we think. Government will take care of me. I don't need to work. That's the culture we live in. But our church culture is different. It can be hard to sit down. Here, we are reminded that it is a choice to sit. Congregation, in the midst of our service, in the midst of our work, even if they're good things, sit down. Stop being cumbered about and drawn away and sit down. When it's time for family worship, stay at the dinner table. When it's time to do devotions together, sit and read. Turn the phone off. Turn the computer off. Leave the work aside. Put the homework by the way. Tell your friends to play with them later. Any number of things that in themselves may be good can get in the way. Make listening to the Lord Jesus always the one thing needful. Decide, purposefully choose to sit down. Or to put it another way, to remove all distractions. To focus on Him. Because she chooses to sit. And it's not just sit. She chooses to sit at Jesus' feet. For some people, even just sitting is an accomplishment. But taking the break and needing the time to rest comes with choosing where to sit. Don't just sit with the novel. Don't just sit with multimedia, clicking through YouTube. Don't just sit to do things relaxing, or don't just sit to change one work for another kind of work. Sit. Purposefully choose to stop what you're doing and listen to Jesus at His feet. At His feet. There is no better way to sit and listen to Jesus than to listen to His Word. We read of how the people who had come before would have longed to have the special privileges of the disciples to see and hear Him. We saw the folly of the man that tried to trap Jesus, and we all heard together the parable, the beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. Now we're all prone to think we need to be right with God by our works rather than mercy. And here He is telling us quite practically, quite clearly, quite warmly, through the case and example of Martha and Mary, to sit down and esteem His words, not the words of men, to listen to what He is teaching, to find our strength, not to flip through the things of the world just to take a break. That is what she has chosen, to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen. To listen. How do you listen? How do you really listen? Do you just kind of sit there and let the noise come in? That's not listening, is it? You can tell when someone's listening to you. They look you in the eye. They stop and ask you a question and you can answer. You can tell they're paying attention. To listen means you set aside what you're thinking. To listen means you set aside what you're feeling. To listen means you don't defend yourself completely. You're not worried about pushing your agenda. It means you're going to stop and you're going to take it in. That is what she is doing. She has done the exact opposite of Martha, and she has done so rightly, though it may feel wrong to us initially. Don't get busy serving others. Don't be drawn away from Jesus. Choose to sit and listen to Jesus. That's what's necessary. When you read the scriptures, do so prayerfully, that the Lord would focus your mind and heart on them. Do so prayerfully, asking the Lord to open your eyes for understanding. And do so purposefully, making time to do so with a plan. Whether you read through the Bible in a year, whether you want to read through the book of John, whether you want to read through the book of Romans, make little memory cards of key verses that strike you in your reading. However you will approach it, there's many different ways to make time to sit and listen to Jesus. You're driving in the car, long trips, listen to good sermons, the Bible on tape, good podcasts. There's all kinds of things these days. But make the time and be purposeful. Make the choice. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. You can never deceive yourself by choosing Jesus. Because you'll never want to choose Jesus apart from the work of grace in a heart. You can never go wrong choosing to sit at Jesus' feet, even if there are 1,000 other things that are busy and important. None as important as listening to Him. Another simple example of how to do it: come to church. Come to church. Not once, but twice. Hear the word preached, the scriptures opened. Listen. Come with a heart that's obedient. Come with a heart that's open. Come with a heart praising God, asking Him to teach you. It's a beautiful thing to choose to sit and listen to Jesus. And the way our culture conducts a worship service, there's no greater picture of it, is there? A bunch of people come and sit down to listen to a man tell them what Jesus would have them know and do. It's a beautiful example of choosing the one thing needful. It is an absolutely necessary choice, and it is a choice that you must make. No one will make it for you. Right now, boys and girls, your mom and dad, in a way, do. You get in the car, you go to church, you sit in the pew, you take notes. I'm going to ask you questions. But there comes a time, and it will be a time that will possibly break your parents' hearts, that if you would choose not to come to church, that you would turn your back on the truth they taught you, if you would turn your back on the Lord Jesus and you would not choose to listen to Him. That would be a fearful thing and a dangerous thing. It's a choice we must all make. Well, how do I make that choice? How do I make that choice? Well, you making that choice starts with God in an amazing way. You see, the Lord has made us to choose things. What's your favorite ice cream flavor? What color shirt do you want to wear? What kind of books do you like to read? And the list could go on and on and on of different things you can choose, and you will choose differently maybe than somebody else. And each one is right. God has given us a will to choose. But the problem is you and I have corrupted our own will. And God in his just judgment hardens us. And it is only right. So we, out of our own fault, will not choose him, anything but him. Prone, the Heidelberg Catechism says, to hate God and my neighbor. We will not choose him. To sit and listen to Jesus, to choose to sit and listen to Jesus with attention, with purpose, with desire, is something we will never choose. You and I, sitting and listening to Jesus, making a personal choice, is like taking your rubber ducky and trying to hold him underwater. What happens when you take your rubber ducky and you put him underwater? He pops back up again. Try it next time you're in the bath. Take your rubber ducky, push him underwater, and then move your hand away. Boop, pops back up again. All the time. If you and I would attempt to sit and listen to Jesus, we will stand right up again and close our ears. We will stand right up again and close our ears. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's what the Lord teaches us about ourselves as grace works in our hearts. And we must never forget that. Otherwise, we will forget the awesome miracle it is that we would choose to sit and listen to Jesus. It starts with him. He's the one that wants us, that works in us, that gives us a desire to sit and listen. And then you know what? We have all those other competing desires, and this is the next part of making the decision to sit and listen to Jesus. He gives that desire, and we tell all the other desires to be quiet and go away. I want to watch this, I want to do this, I want to feel this, I want to eat this, I want to experience this. No. I want to go here, I want to see this, I want to listen to that. No. Push it all away. And say, I am going to sit and listen to Jesus. It's a desire you can't give yourself, but a desire you are called to follow, pushing the other desires out of the way. If you would do it, you must rely on his grace and strength. And then further, not only does he begin the choice, you must put the other temptations and distractions and other choices away. Be purposeful in how you do it. Set a time. Make a way. Be accountable. This is really the same way you set any other goal. The same way you make other changes in life. Save this one super amazing miraculous difference. It rests in God's strength, not your own. It is the fruit of his work in your life, not your own willpower. It is him, not you. He began the process to begin with, and it's a process you and I would never begin. That is how we make this necessary choice, empowered by his Spirit, to choose the one thing needful to sit and to listen to Jesus. And ever blessedly, by the grace of God, when sinners do that, when we stop being Martha, Martha, and we start being Mary, when we stop being cumbered about, when we stop being anxious and troubled, loaded with a burden of cares, we find that sense of peace that transcends all understanding as we bring our prayers and requests to him at his feet, listening for his responses through his word, and that blessedness of hearing his word will never be taken away. Verse 42, the Lord Jesus says, that will never be taken away. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It will not be taken away. What a thing. Jesus says, sitting at my feet, listening to me, hearing my word, will never be taken from you. Well, what does he mean by that? You can lose your Bible. Leave your Bible at somebody's house. What if sermon audio doesn't work? or there's a problem with the live feed of the worship service. There have been times in the history of the world where governments come in and they confiscate Bibles, they persecute the church, and they kill Christians. I knew a man at my Bible college who was a prisoner in a World War II concentration camp, a Japanese concentration camp. The only Bible he had, he said, was the Bible in his mind. But as time goes, we've all seen some people get sick with different diseases, and as we say, the mind goes. So what does this mean? This shall not be taken away from her. What does that mean? He's not talking about the physical printing of the Word of God. Nor is he necessarily talking about your memory or technology. What he is talking about is the abiding and powerful effects that the Word of God accomplishes in the heart. He is talking about the effects and the power of the Word as blessed by the power of the Spirit. He is talking about the Word of God inscripturated as it connects to the Word of God who was enfleshed and then crucified and now enthroned. When you come and sit at the feet of Jesus and you hear his word and you pray and you have living communion with him, and even if they take away all the Bibles, even if they take away your memory, even if Christians are persecuted, it cannot stop the power of his salvation. His people will never be forgotten of him. They are engraven upon his hands. The high priest carried them in the very clothing of his high priestly garments. That good thing will not be taken from her. That one thing needful that she hath chosen will not be taken away from her. And child of God, it will not be taken away from you. You cannot lose the power and the word of Christ. You cannot lose salvation. You cannot stop that good thing he has begun in you from being carried out to completion. To paraphrase the language of Paul, it will not be taken from her. The Word of God cannot be stopped. Our Lord Jesus cannot be thwarted. Thus, to have the Word of God never taken from us should bring tremendous comfort, tremendous strengthening, tremendous comfort, tremendous strengthening. That in the midst of your being cumbered, in the midst of your anxieties and cares, in the midst of all your troubles and stress, he is there. Choose him. Go back to him. Sit at his feet. Listen to him again. Hear his word again. It's always there. He deals with sinners who have forgotten the one thing needful, who are full of anxiety and care and troubled with a great many things. And he directs them back to himself. He doesn't say, stay busy and keep being busy. I don't have any time for you. That is not his character. And he simply gets to the heart of her matter, the heart of the situation, and directs her back to himself. There is comfort at his feet. There is strengthening at his feet. As you find yourself weak, as you have forgotten that one thing needful. But further, there is encouragement. There is encouragement. There is reason to be optimistic. There is reason to be happy. There is a reason to think all will indeed go well amidst your feelings of anxiety and trouble. There is reason to think all will go well when everything seems to be going wrong. Because it will not be taken away. The power of God's word, as I mentioned to you, cannot be stopped. The Lord Jesus is a conquering king riding forth on his white horse. And no power in heaven and earth can stop him. The devil could not. Death could not. Nothing will. You may feel, as our great forefather did, all these things are against me, when they are really all for you, even if you do not see it. It's a matter of coming back to the one thing needful and choosing that one thing needful, to hear his word and embracing the comfort and encouragement of the fact that cannot be taken away. But it must be the one thing needful. Boys and girls, it's true. If you don't breathe or eat or drink, your body will die. But there is a life much more important than this physical and earthly one. And that is spiritual life. And faith is absolutely necessary for spiritual life. If there is no faith, there is no spiritual life. Grace is absolutely necessary because we're sinful and we are entirely dependent on the grace of God. And God's grace is the reason for his faith. And regeneration, the new birth, the Holy Spirit's work in making a sinner all over again, taking them from being in the image of the devil, as the Lord Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, to making them in the image of himself or of his son, as the Apostle Paul says. Regeneration is a radical work, a changing work, a spirit-wrought work that only the Spirit can do. Without regeneration, no faith. But faith, grace, and regeneration all hang on the word. They are tied to Christ himself. The Spirit has given his people for his sake. The Spirit comes at the bidding of the Father and the Son to regenerate the heart and give faith. It was out of the love and grace of the Father the Son was sent in the first place. It all, one way, shape, form, or another, comes back to the Word. It comes back to Christ and listening to him. We listen to his word. That is the one thing needful. Through the preaching of the word, through the reading of the word, through the proclamation of the word, through the word, faith comes by hearing. It is through the instrumentality of the word that all the mighty works of salvation are wrought. That spiritual life that is so much necessary and valuable, which transcends this physical life now. Clearly, scripturally, as our Lord Jesus said, there is one thing needful. To listen to Jesus. Please, congregation, boys and girls, older ones, if you ever do anything, if anything were absolutely necessary for you and for me, it is to listen to Jesus. So choose to sit and listen at his feet. You will never deceive yourselves at the feet of Christ. It is impossible for you to sit at the feet of Christ. You will be like that rubber duck in the bathtub who just pops up all the time. You will not do it. And that is why it should be such a beautiful encouragement. It is the further confirmation your heart has been opened. When you do choose the one thing needful amidst it, when you find yourself desiring to be a Mary, though you see yourself being a Martha, that is the fruit of grace in the heart. The blessed thing is, that glorious comfort, that blessed encouragement, that one thing needful, that glorious hearing his voice and the marvelous deliverance that comes with and from it will never be taken away from you. If you have never sat and listened to Jesus, do it. Pick up your Bible, start with the Gospel of John, and read And if you are a child of God, and you find yourself more fitting the description of Martha than Mary this morning, choose what must be necessary to sit at his feet. Today is a blessed day to do it. It's a day when we're free from our labors and our cares and our concerns. Sit down with the scriptures. Sit down with a good book. Pray. Commune with one another and talk about the good things of the word. You will not regret it. This is the one thing needful. This is where our hope and our encouragement is. By the grace of God, let us always choose it to hear Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for sending Thy dear Son, and we pray, Lord, Thou would continue to guide us and instruct us, and let us always seek to hear Him. And like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration saw amidst all the glories of a light shining in the face of Moses and Elijah, let us, Lord, Laver, see no man but Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.